Morning. Today's daf in Shabbos is Lamed Tes. We are starting on the Mishnah, the Bava Lamed Ches Amud Beis. A couple words of introduction before we start our Mishnah. Third parakah of the Masechta, which we started now about 4 days ago. So dealt with the topic 3 days ago. Dealt with the topic of Kira, but really dealt with the topic of preparing food before Shabbos. One does not want to violate the Malacha of Bishul on Shabbos. Putting the food up before Shabbos is not a violation of the Malacha. However, there were rabbinic concerns regarding what happens when a person puts food up before Shabbos, does not adjust the fire, and the possibility that he will be violating the Malacha of Shabbos. So the Gezer of Shem Yechata B'Gachalim, because of this concern that the person is going to stoke the coals. So the Chacham legislated that in order to put a food before Shabbos, so you have to do adjustments to the fire, and the food has to be cooked, and we discussed all this in much greater detail over the last three blot of Gemara. The Gemara now is going to be discussing the act of cooking on Shabbos itself. The act of cooking on Shabbos is very simple in terms of how to violate it. You take a food that is inedible, and you render it edible. That is a oversimplification of a definition, because there are a number of foods that are already edible, and still cooking would be a violation of Bishul. In tomorrow's daf, we're going to be speaking a little bit more about that. So we'll reserve that discussion for tomorrow. Right now we're talking about how exactly to violate the Malacha, and that is the heat source. In order to violate the Malacha of Bishul, so you have to cook with a fire. That is Eish. Also, cooking with Toldas Eish, with something which was heated by the fire, also would be a Malacha Daraisa as well. So in other words, if you heat up metal, and then that metal that was heated up subsequently were to cook, so this falls under the category of Toldas Eish, it's a derivative of fire, and that would also be violating the Malacha of Bishul, and that would be a Malacha Daraisa to cook with Toldas Eish. As we will be seeing both in our Mishnah and the Gemara, if I use another heat source, let's say, for example, the sun, so that is not going to be a Malacha of Bishul. If I cook in the sun, so that will not be a Malacha of Bishul. What if I were to cook with a Toldas Eish? So ostensibly, that also would not be a Malacha. What's the difference between cooking a fire through the fire versus cooking through the sun? So I will discuss that. We will discuss that a little bit later on in the daf. Those are all just basic introductory notes. Before we start with the Mishnah, we begin the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud, on Lamed Ches Amud Beis. A notes named Beitza B'tzad HaMecham B'Shvil Shetizkalgel. The Mishnah says that one is not allowed to put an egg next to the kettle, and so that the egg will be roasted. The word Mizgalgel literally means to roll. It's a description, it's a term that's used to describe to cooking the egg. So the Mishnah says that one is not allowed to do that. We're talking about on Shabbos itself. This would be cooking on Shabbos, so this would be a violation of the Malacha. It would be a Chilul Shabbos D'Oraisa. The Gemara is going to make that point very clear. It's going to be the first point the Gemara is going to make. And even though you're not cooking with the fire, you're only cooking with something which was heated through the fire, nevertheless, that would also be Chilul Shabbos. That would also be the Malacha of Bishul. Next point of the Mishnah, Lo Yafkeinu B'Sudrim, Rabbi Yossi Amatir. You shouldn't crack an egg open over a scarf, a handkerchief. The handkerchief was heated by the sun. And so the Tanakam of the Mishnah says that one is not allowed to cook in that manner as well. Now, in my introductory notes, I noted that cooking in the sun would be okay. But over here, it's not the sun that's cooking. It's the heated scarf that's cooking. And so therefore, when you're cracking the egg, it's a really hot day. It's a sunny day. The scarf was outside. The scarf is really hot. And if I crack an egg on it and I start cooking, so that would be usur according to the Tanakama. Even though it's only toladas chama. It's a derivative of the sun. The Gemara is going to note that. Rav Yossi Matir. Rav Yossi allows it. The Gemara is going to explain the machlokes between the Tanakam and Rav Yossi. We'll wait for the Gemara. Lo yid meimene b'chol uva'avak derachim b'shil shetitzle. One is not allowed to wrap it up, neither in sand or in the dirt of the path, in order so that it be roasted. And this ostensibly would be going according to everybody, even according to Rav Yossi, even though the dirt was heated up by the sun. And obviously there needs an explanation is necessary in the Mishnah. Rav Yossi just allowed you to cook with a scarf that was heated in the sun. And meanwhile, when it comes to avas derachim, when it comes to the dirt of the pathway, which was heated by the sun, Rav Yossi seemingly would say that that's prohibited. We're going to come back to that point a little bit later on. Maisa shasu anshi Tveria. The people of the city of Tveria. Tveria had hot springs. And so the hot springs were where people would bathe and it created a natural heat source, and they come up with the following idea. Pretty pretty smart engineering, especially circa 2nd century. So Maisa Shasu Anshi Tiveria Ve'avius Yilon Shol Tzorin L'soch Amas Shol Chamin. So what they did is they ran a pipe of cold water, and they ran it through the Chamin, the hot springs of Tiveria. And as a result of that, the cold water now was heated. Now they set this up before Shabbos. We're not talking about where they set it up on Shabbos. And nevertheless, the mission now is going to give us the back and forth in terms of whether or not one can use that water on Shabbos. So Amar Lam Chachamim im b'Shabbos kecham shuchma b'Shabbos. Now, as far as the water is concerned, the water that was heated up on Shabbos, so that is going to be treated like water that was heated on Shabbos. V'asurim b'rechitzo v'shtia. And you cannot bathe in that water, and you cannot drink that water. Im b'yom tov, if this were on Yantiv, kecham shuchma b'yom tov, we're going to treat it like water that was heated on Yantiv. V'asurim b'tzichim mutarim b'shtia. One cannot bathe in that water, but one would be allowed to drink that water. You're allowed to cook up water on Yantiv in order to eat. That is what's called ochel nefesh. One, however, cannot use that water for bathing. Now, it does fall under the category of ochel nefesh, and we will discuss later on why it is that you cannot bathe in that water. Right now, what we have in front of us are three psakim of the Mishnah. One is not putting an egg next to the kettle, that it was heated under a fire. A second was not to crack an egg over a scarf that was heated in the sun. And the third was not to roll an egg, or not to insulate the egg in dirt that was heated up by the sun. We're going to discuss all three of these psakim of the Mishnah, and then the Mishnah went on to discuss the pipes of Anshei Tveria. And that also we're going to be discussing as well. But first things first, we're going to cover now the first statement of the Mishnah, and that is putting an egg next to a kettle. E bailu gilgal mai. The Gemara wants to know, and if you did in fact cook this egg right by the kettle on Shabbos, what would be the consequence? I'm Rav Yosef gilgal chayev chatas. So Rav Yosef is of the opinion that if you do so, you are going to be subject to a karban chatas. Assuming you did so b'shogeg, you would be liable for violating the malacha of Shabbos. Amar Marbere de Ravina Afanami Tanina. And Marbere de Ravina wants to support this from the following brises. We now are on the top of Lamtes Amud Aleph. Kol Sheba B'chamim Lifnei HaShabbos Shor Nosa B'chamim B'Shabbos. Anything that was soaked in hot water before Shabbos, i.e. it was cooked, so one would be allowed to re-soak it on Shabbos as well. We have a principle of ein bishal achar bishal. Once something is cooked, it is not subject to being cooked again. And therefore, when you have something which is cooked, so on Shabbos itself, if you just want to reheat it, you may do so. That's the basic idea. In terms of a practical halacha, it's not as simple as I just laid out, but that's the idea of the braisa. V'chol shel abal b'chamim lefnei Shabbos madichin osa b'chamim b'Shabbos. Now, if it wasn't cooked before Shabbos, you didn't soak it in hot water before Shabbos, so you can't cook it on Shabbos, because that obviously now would be subject to the malacha of Bishol. But what you could do is you could rinse it with hot water, and in doing so, all you're going to be doing is just simply taking out the chill of the food. So, chutz min hamaliach yashem v'kul yasai spanish eidachtam zui gemar malachtam. With exception to small types of fish, where they're so delicate and they're so sensitive. So even if I were to just give it a hot bath rinse, it's going to be considered cooking. And so therefore, for those, you cannot give it the rinse. Now, we're just going to focus on the Gemara's point, and then I'll come back and I'll discuss just quickly some ancillary points as well. Shema Mina. The Gemara says, what did we learn together from the Braisa? Exactly what Rav Yosef taught us. That if I cook with toladas chama, one would be subject to the malacha d'araisa of Bishol. Now, how do we see this in the Braisa? The Braisa didn't say anything about... I said toldas chama. Let me correct myself. I meant toldas eish. If one were to cook with toldas eish, one would be subject to the chilol Shabbos, the chiv d'araisa of Bishol b'Shabbos. And the Gemara says, Shmami, now we see it from the Braisa. Where in the Braisa do we see it? The Braisa doesn't mention anything regarding toldas eish. And the Braisa doesn't say anything regarding the Chi of the Oraisa. So if you took a look at Rashi over here, Rashi fourth line down, Sheidachtov Ezui Gemar Malachto, Midikarle Gemar Malachto, Shmamina Zeu Bisho Vechayev. So by virtue of the fact that the wording of the Braisa was Gemar Malachto, so that means to say that you were invoking the word Malacha. Malacha means that you're violating the Isser Shabbos, the Malacha Shabbos, which would be an Isser Daraisa. And that is the diuk in the Braisa that tells us that when I'm cooking, and what am I cooking with? I'm not cooking directly under the fire. I'm using something that was heated by the fire, the water that was heated by the fire, which was then poured on these delicate items. That, in fact, would be subject to the Chilo Shabbos, the Malacha Daraisa of Bishal. That's the diuk in the Braisa. There are a number of points over here that need more discussion, more clarification. I'm only going to bring it up very briefly because our objective is to get through the daf, but there are just a lot of things to consider. In this braisa we just learned together on the top of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph that if something is cooked before Shabbos or reheating it on Shabbos, it would be fine because ein bishal achar bishal, there's no cooking after cooking. Once you cook something, it's not subject to being cooked again. There's a really interesting comment by Tosfos over here, Kol Shabbat B'chamim B'lefnei Shabbos, and Tosfos writes over here, Perish Shinis Basho Lagamre. That means to say that it has to be fully cooked before Shabbos. If something was only partially cooked before Shabbos, even if it got to the point of Michael Ben Drusai, so then if you cook it on Shabbos and you get it more cooked, so then that would be a violation of Shabbos, that would be Bishop of Shabbos. What Tosfos is touching on over here is a major debate amongst the Rishonim. Once we say that a food has gotten to the point of Michael Ben Drusai, it is edible. If I further cook that food, is that considered Bishal? Tosfos over here implies very clearly, yes, that would be considered Bishal. It only no longer is subject to Bishal, only after it's fully cooked. That means to say that according to Tosfos, anywhere between Michael Ben Drusai and Bishal Kol Tzarcho, it's still considered Bishal if I bring it to a higher level of cooking. If I take it from, let's say, a half cook to three quarters cooked, so Tosfos implies that that would be the malacha of Bishal. This position of Tosfos over here is clearly articulated by the Rambam. The Rambam says that there's Bishal Daraisa even after Michael Ben Drusai, up until the point where it's Mevushal Kol Tzarcho until when it's fully cooked. So that is the Rambam's position. Other Rishonim do not agree with this. Other Rishonim take the position that after Michael Ben Drusai, it is no longer subject to cooking. Another point of consideration and discussion is that we learned together in Bishal Achar Bishal. Is there any kind of distinction to be made regarding a food versus a liquid? Meaning if I have something which is cooked before Shabbos, a food, and then on Shabbos itself it cools down and I want to reheat it. So we learned in the Braisa that as long as it's fully cooked before Shabbos, you can reheat it on Shabbos. Again, there are other considerations which I didn't bring up. Considerations of mechzik and mevasha, it looks like you're cooking. And that is an important halachic discussion, which I just want to bring it up, even though not discussing it. But just in terms of the Gemara itself, is there any distinction to be made between a food and a liquid? A food that's fully cooked and you want to reheat it on Shabbos versus a liquid that's fully cooked and then it cools down again. One can easily see a difference between a food that cools down that's cooked, it just happens to be cold, versus a liquid that cools down. If a liquid cools down, so what basically happened? So the cooking is gone. Meaning the whole purpose of cooking a liquid is just simply to heat it. And now that it gets to the point now where it's cool again, and then you reheat it, it's not really reheating. In other words, one can easily imagine that that is considered cooking. And there is a major debate amongst the Rishonim whether or not this principle of Ein Bishal Achar Bishal only applies to food, or does it apply to liquid as well? Okay, so that's another point of consideration in this Braisa. And just one more point to bring up. In this Braisa, we said that if the food is not fully cooked, you can't cook it on Shabbos, but you can give it a rinse. And what does that mean, give it a rinse? So presumably what that means is take water from an urn and pour it on. Water from the urn that you're pouring on now has a halachic status of what's called Irui Kli Rishon. So the pour that comes out, the flow that comes out of the pot itself is a Kli Rishon. And that qualifies as cooking, as we just learned. But the Irui, the flow that comes out, so that's Irui Kli Rishon, does that not have the status of a Kli Rishon? It seems like the answer is yes. This too is a major discussion amongst the Rishonim, whether or not Irui Kli Rishon has the status of a Kli Rishon, or it does not have the status of a Kli Rishon. It sounds like from our Gemara, it does not have the status. Okay, so that's another major discussion to be had. So there really are a lot of fundamental points that come out of our Braisa. We're going to continue in the Gemara. Lo yafkinim besudrin. One is not allowed to crack an egg over a scarf that was heated by the sun. Now the Gemara points out that as far as the Mishnah is concerned, that we're going to learn later in the Masechta, much later in the Masechta. No, sentashlo sochabor bishul shi'ei shamor, vesamayim ayafim beram bishul shi'ei tzanenu. One is allowed to take a food and put it in the pit so that the heat will maintain. And one is allowed to take water that is good and put it in water that's bad. We're not talking about putting the water within the water. It will be near impossible to separate. What we mean to say is that good water that's in a flask, you're putting in bad water. And why are you doing so? Either bishvil shiitzananu, you want it simply to cool down. In other words, the bad water. When I say bad water, meaning it's dirty. And what you're doing is you're putting in a flask of hot water into cool, dirty water just simply to cool it down. And that's fine. Vetzatzonim b'chama, bishvil shiitzananu. And what you could do is you could take cold water, hold it under the sun, and so that it heat up under the sun. And so therefore, and the assumption over here is that even if the sun is so hot that it ends up even cooking the hot water, nevertheless, that would be fine, that would be perfectly okay. Now, what the Gemara here is wondering is that in our Mishnah, we talked about cooking with the scarf that was heated by the sun. That's told us Chama. And in our Mishnah, it's the machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi. Tanakhama says it's Asur, Rav Yossi says it's Mutter. This Mishnah that comes up at the end of the Masechta, so Lema Rav Yossi Hivalo Rabbanan, it sounds like the Mishnah is going like Rav Yossi, it sounds like the Mishnah is not going like the Chachamim, and the Gemara is just simply perplexed. How can I have a Stam Mishnah going like Rav Yossi and not like the Chachamim? Am Rav Nachman Bechama Dekulei Amalo Pligi Deshare. So the Gemara over here now gives us basic principles, and that is that on Shabbos, everyone is in agreement that one is allowed to cook directly under the sun. The sun, cooking under the sun, does not represent Bishul B'Shabbos. We'll explain why. We'll try to explain why in just a moment. B'toldas or Kulei Amalo Pligi, the Aser. And if I'm cooking with a derivative of fire, everyone's in agreement that that's Aser. And as we already learned earlier in this daf, it's an Issur D'Oraisa. Ki Pligi B'toldas Achama. The debate between the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi is cooking with a derivative of the sun. Mar Savar Gazrina told us Achama, Atu told us Aor, Umar Savar Lo Gazrina. One is of the opinion that there is a gzera, because if I cook with a derivative of the sun, the casual onlooker will look at me now cooking with this material and not be totally aware of how it was heated up, and he's going to say to himself, oh, I get it. You can't cook with a fire, but you can cook with a derivative of the fire. He didn't know that this was heated by the sun, and so one is of the opinion that the Chachamim legislated a gzera, that one is not allowed to cook with a derivative of the sun, because it may lead to end up cooking with a derivative of the fire. And Umar Savalo Gazrinan, and Rav Yossi simply says that no such gzera was made. And so that is the machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi. And so let's lay out the principles again. I'm just going to summarize. Cooking directly under the sun, Mutar Lagamre. Cooking with directly under fire, Issur D'Oraisa. Cooking with Toldas Ha'esh, a derivative of the fire, also an Issur D'Oraisa. Cooking with toldas achama, a derivative of the sun, machlokas. Meaning, before we get to the machlokas, if you think about it, if cooking with the sun is okay, so cooking with a derivative of the sun for sure should be okay. That is a fair statement. On the other hand, when people see me cooking with a derivative, they don't know how it was heated up. Did the Chachamim legislate a gzera for fear that if I cook with a derivative of the sun, so then it will lead to cooking with a derivative of a fire? That's a machlokas tanayim. The Chachamim said that a gezera was legislated. Rav Yossi says that no gezera was legislated. Okay. And if we could try now to explain why it is that cooking under the sun would be mutar legamrei according to everybody. So there is a Rashi that is touted and quoted often. Look at the Rashi. Rashi de Ramaskal de Share. Ein derech bishula bekach. So Rashi just writes four words, and this four words is discussed extensively amongst the Rishonim and amongst the Achronim. Rashi says the reason why cooking with the sun would be mutter is because this is not the way that cooking is done. Now, what does Rashi mean by that? Okay, wonderful. That is a Pandora's box. Not ready to open it up right now, but certainly Rashi is giving voice a hesber in terms of why cooking under the sun would be okay. It's not the way that people cook. Again, there's an extensive discussion within Rashi what exactly Rashi meant by that. We're going to go on in the Gemara, but it's certainly a worthwhile endeavor to try to understand what Rashi means. Lo yitminena b'chol. We are in the Gemara, and the Gemara now moves on to the next point of the Mishnah, which is that you can't take food and roll it in the sand, insulate it in the sand, even though that sand was heated by the sun. Now, v'lifleg nami Rav Yossi b'ham. Now, the Gemara says, now, I'm a little bit confused. Why isn't Rav Yossi arguing over here? The sand is heated by the sun. The sand is now falls under the category of toldas chama. Toldas chama is the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi. Tanakhama prohibits cooking with a derivative of the sun. Rav Yossi permits with cooking with a derivative, cooking with a derivative of the sun. So why is it now that here in this case of taking a food and rolling it in the sand, insulating in the sand, why would it be that Rav Yossi is not expressing any opposition to this idea of the Mishnah? And why isn't Rav Yossi simply saying that this would be okay, just like the handkerchief heated with the sun would be okay? The Gemara is going to give two explanations. Rabba Amar Gzeresha Miyat Min Beremetz. So according to Rabba, the issue is as follows, is that once you are getting comfortable with the idea of taking a food and insulating it in the sand, so the next step is going to be, well, if I'm insulating with the sand, so what's the difference if I insulate it with sand or if I insulate it with coal? Meaning they're both hot items and insulation with both would be okay. Now, of course, remets, that would be a toldas ha'esh, that would be an issa d'oraisa. And so, over here, even Rav Yossi would concede that the difference between hot sand and hot coals is really minimal. People are not really able to see the difference. And so what Rav is suggesting is that in this case, Rav Yossi would say that Ixera was made. That's one explanation of why Rav Yossi would agree about insulating a food in the hot sand. Rav Yosef Amram Nishimat Mezes Offer Mimkomo. Rav Yosef is of the opinion that the reason why Rav Yossi agrees over here is because in order to put the food into the sand, so it means you're going to have to move earth. Now I'm going to say the Gemara over like Rashi, and if you're going to move earth, what you're going to end up doing is you're going to making a hole in the ground. Making a hole in the ground on Shabbos, that's choresh, that's plowing, and that would be usher. And so because you're going to end up doing that, so therefore the one is not allowed to insulate the food in hot sand, despite the fact that Rav Yossi is comfortable with the idea that, as far as Bishul is concerned, there's no problem, because this is told us a chama, but there's another concern, another consideration of simply digging a hole in the ground, which would be the malacha of choresh. That's the way Rashi understands it. Now, if it happens to be you're thinking about this a little bit more, you're probably wondering, well, I'm digging a hole in the ground, but it's not because I am looking to plant. I'm digging the hole in the ground because I want that hot sand in order to insulate the food. Isn't this sound like a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa? If you're thinking along those lines, you're in really good company. Tosos asks this very question. You could see Tosos discuss this matter. Dibra amaskum emnesha mezes offer mimkomo. Tosos discusses this at some length regarding how is this not a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa. Anyway, we have the case of insulating in the hot sand that was heated by the sun, and we've just agreed that Rav Yossi agrees to such a scenario that would be usur, even though in general he says toldas chama would be fine, and we've given two explanations of why Rav Yossi would agree in this circumstance. One, Rava, is because even here Rav Yossi would say there's a gzera. If I'm insulating in hot sand, it's going to end up leading to insulating in hot coal. A second, Rav Yosef, is because it's going to require you to move earth, and the moving of earth would be a violation of Choresh. My Beinayu, we come now, the Gemara points out, the difference, the practical difference between these two explanations is Afer Tichoach. Let's say that the earth has already been dislodged, meaning it's very soft earth that's already been moved, and it's just sitting in the ground. So if I'm just taking that earth, so that would not be the Malacha of Choresh. Again, I'm explaining the Gemara like Rashi. That would not be the Malacha of Choresh, because Choresh is taking earth that is solid, embedded within the ground, and digging up that earth. But if the earth has already been removed, and it's just soft, fine earth, and all you're doing is just pushing it, so that would be not the malacha of choresh, and that would be the practical difference. If it's a consideration of shema yatmin beremetz, that still applies. If the issue is choresh, it does not apply. That would be the practical difference between the two. And yes, of course, moving even soft earth on Shabbos would be a violation of moksa, and the Gemara does not seem to be taking that into consideration. Again, you could see Tosos for that discussion regarding why is the Gemara not talking about Muksa. Meitzvei, the Gemara now is going to be challenging based on the following Braisa. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Megaglan Beitza Al Gabe Gag Roseach Vein Megaglan Beitza Al Gabe Sir Roseach. One is allowed to cook an egg on your rooftop. The rooftop is toldas chama. So one would be allowed to do so. And ein migalgalim beitz al gabei sid roseach. But if it's a limestone that was heated up by fire, so one would not be allowed to cook and cook the egg next to this derivative of fire. Now, bishlam alaman damer gzera shemayat min beremetz lekel amegzar. So the first thing we're going to assume is that the author of this brisa is Rav Yossi. Now, that's a little bit fun because the brisa opens up with Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. And perhaps what we'll suggest is that he's in agreement with Rav Yossi. But okay. But anyway, but if I subscribe to the idea that the reason why Rav Yossi agreed in the case of the hot sand, so the Gemara says, so good, so I understand this brisa. So, like Lemigzar, over here there's no gzera. We're talking about the rooftop. There's no sand on the rooftop. If I'm cooking on the rooftop, no one's going to confuse the cooking on the rooftop with end up with the eventuality of insulating it in coal. So the Gemara says, so I can understand that. Elamandar min Mesha makes up from Imkom or Ligzar. The Gemara suggests over here that if the issue is that moving earth, why isn't that an issue on the rooftop? Now the answer seems to be so obvious, it's kind of difficult to understand what the Gemara was asking. Stam gag leis bei afar. So the Gemara says that generally speaking, rooftops don't have dirt, don't have earth. And so therefore, even the second issue, the second concern of Rav Yossi, is that I may end up moving earth, that's not going to be an issue on the rooftop as well. That seems to be an extraordinarily self-evident point. I don't know what the Gemara was thinking. I don't fully understand the Havamin of the Gemara. When the Gemara thought for a moment that this would be a concern even on the rooftop as well. But anyway, but the Gemara dismissed it. But certainly, I'd love more clarity on the Havamina. Tashma, the Gemara, comes and challenges again based on our Mishnah. We're quoting our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we learned together that the city in Tveria, so they ran a cold pipe through the hot springs of Tveria. And a discussion, an ensuing discussion, whether or not this would be okay or unacceptable. The Chachamim told the Anshei Tveria not to do it. And we'll discuss much more of that as the Gemara continues. But right now, in the context of our discussion, Bishlam Laman Damek Zerim Shami Yatnin Beremetz, Hainu Dedami Latmana. So again, the Gemara right now is assuming Rav Yossi is in agreement that they should not have done this. Meaning, again, if you look back at the Mishnah, Rav Yossi does not raise opposition. So Rav Yossi agrees that with the Chachamim, Anshei Tveri should not have done this. But now what the Gemara wants to understand is, why would Rav Yossi oppose this? Now, if Rav Yossi would agree because of Shema Yatmin Beremetz, so the Gemara says, so then I can understand that over here. Because the cold pipe is basically being insulated by the hot springs of Tveria. So we're really looking at an act of insulation. So I can understand why Rav Yossi would agree. El Lamandamar, but according to the one who says, Min Meshim Azizah from Mim Koma Michael Amemar. But if the issue is moving earth, over here, what moving earth are we talking about? It's a cold pipe running through the hot springs. We're not moving any earth over here. Why would Rav Yossi object to this? So the Gemara says, Mitzvah is Maisa Tveria Sefa Kai, Aresha Kai. So the Gemara says, well, you walked into this question with certain assumptions. You thought that the Maisa, that the episode cited at the end of the Mishnah, is commenting on the machlokas between the Tanakhama is going on the case of cooking in the sand. The Gemara says that's not correct. It's going on the Reisha. It's going on the earlier case of the Mishnah. A lo yafkina besutrin, of not cracking an egg over a hot handkerchief that was heating the sun. Rav Yossi matir, v'hachi kamer le rabban le Rav Yossi. The story over here was brought in to support the Chachamim against Rav Yossi. Meaning we assume going into this question that Rav Yossi agreed with the story of Maisa B'Tveria. Now the Gemara is just simply saying that's not true. That's not a correct assumption. Rav Yossi actually is going to be disputing the Chachamim even in the case of Tveria. Ha Maisa Danshei Tveria de Todos Chamahu Ve'asul Rabbanan. And so the Chachamim say to Rav Yossi, look at the story of Anshei Tveria. Where there, they're cooking using Todos Chama, and there the Chachamim said, you're not allowed to do that. And the Chachamim are saying to Rav Yossi, And what are you going to do now? You're going to argue with all the Chachamim up in Tveria? Amar Lahu. Now the Gemara over here gives us what Rav Yossi's response is to the Chachamim regarding this challenge. So Amar Lahu, Hahu told us Orhu, Dechafia Pischa de Gehenem. Rav Yossi says, you don't understand. The case over there in Tveria, yes, I agree that that's prohibited. But you're working with a false assumption. you think that the hot springs of Tveria are heated by the sun. Rav Yossi says that's not correct. It's heated by a fire. Now, the Gemara over here is super interesting because the Gemara says, what fire is heating the hot springs of Tveria? So, Pischa de Gehenim, the entrance to Gehenim. That is what's heating the hot springs of Tveria. Now, exactly how to understand the Gemara over here, what Gehenim is the Gemara referring to? Is it referring to the Gehenim in terms of Schar Va'onesh? And the idea that Gehenim is a physical place that actually exists within our physical world? That's the simple reading of the Gemara. Obviously, that poses its own set of difficulties, but regardless, in terms of that point, it's a really interesting one. But just in terms of focusing on the Gemara, it just simply means it's not told us Chama, it's told us Eish. And Rav Yossi rebuts the Chachamim and says, you think that the hot springs of Tveria are derivative of the sun, told us Chama, that's not correct. It's told us Eish. That's why the Chachamim prohibited it. As we finished on the first Amud of today's Daf, so just as a quick summary, we have now clarified, cooking with told us Eish is an Isser. It's an Isser Daraisa. The Gemara made that point clear at the top of the Amud. The Gemara then went on to discuss the machlokes between Rav Yossi and the Chachamim regarding Toldas Chama. Cooking with the sun itself would be Mutar on Shabbos. Rashi over here invokes the four words of Ein Derech Bishul Bekach. One is allowed to cook with the sun, cooking with a derivative of the sun. And machlokes whether Exera was initiated. According to the Chachamim, there's Exera of Toldas Chama Atu Toldas Aish. And according to Rav Yossi, there's no Exera. And then the subsequent discussion on the Gemara, what about the fact that Rav Yossi agrees that you can't cook food in hot sand that was heated by the sun? So the Gemara offers two possibilities why Rav Yossi agrees over there. Because over there, that would certainly lead to hatmana bedavar ha'asr, meaning you'll be matmin beremet, you'll insulate with coals. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility is that Rav Yossi would agree over there because you're moving earth. And the Gemara went back and forth in terms of which seems to be the more plausible explanation of Rav Yossi, why he agrees that you cannot insulate in the hot sands. I'm Rav Chista. Continuing now in the Gemara, we turn to the Amud Beis. Rav Chista makes the following comment. Mi ma'ise she'asu anshei Tveria. Ve'ase luhu rabbanan. So let's take a look now. Let's revisit the incident regarding ma'ise Tveria. So the Chachamim told the members of Tveria, you cannot do that. You can't run your cold water pipes through the hot springs. Having the water cook up on Shabbos, you cannot do that. And parenthetically, by the way, I know I made this point, but I want to make it even clearer. They set it up before Shabbos. They did not do this on Shabbos itself. And so therefore, you're talking about a situation in which the act of Bishlam was not done on Shabbos, but just simply it was set up so that it would be done on Shabbos. Isn't that, aren't we talking about your Kalim doing Malacha, not you doing Malacha? Didn't we say earlier in the Masechta on Daf Yud Ches that there's no... That we subscribe to the position of Beis Hillel. There is no Isser of Shvisas Kalim. So Tosfos addresses that all the way back in the Mishnah. I failed to mention the Tosfos, but I'll just do so quickly right now. Tosfos says in general that's true. Your Kalim can do Malacha on Shabbos, but over here we're talking about Bishul, and so the Chachamim were super concerned over the fact that if you end up enjoying this hot water on Shabbos, so certainly it will be more than tempting to do it on Shabbos itself, to cook it on Shabbos itself. That is Tosfos on the in the beginning of our daf today. It's Tosfos all the way back on Lamed Ches Amud Beis, Divrei Maaschal Ma'aseh Ve'Hiviyu. Okay. Anyway, the Gemara now makes the following observation as we are on the top of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. From the incident of Anshei Tveria, here's the conclusion that we could draw. The Chachamim told the Anshei Tveria to disassemble the pipes. One cannot use those pipes on Shabbos. The truth of the matter is that if they're only using it during the week, that would be fine. But in other words, if their intent is to use it on Shabbos, it must be taken down. It must be taken apart. And what do we learn from that? So, Aser Lu Rabbanan, I'm starting from the top of the Amud. Mi Maisa Shansu Anshei Tveria V'Aser Lu Rabbanan Batla Hatmana Medavra Mosif Hevel V'Afilu Mi Ba'od Yom. So here's a conclusion that we could draw. The Chachamim prohibited Hatmana B'davar Mosif Hevel. We discussed this once before, earlier in our perek. We're going to be discussing this idea extensively in the fourth perek, the next perek of our Masechta. One cannot insulate with a material that's going to be Mosif Hevel, that's going to increase the heat. Classic example is coals. You cannot insulate with coals. Now, not only can you not do that on Shabbos itself, But what we're drawing, the conclusion we're drawing, is that you cannot do that even before Shabbos. Because as I pointed out, the members of Tveriah put this pipe system together before Shabbos. And the Chachamim said you cannot do that. So this is Hatmana B'davar Hamosif Hevel. And this would be Aser. And that's the conclusion that we could draw from the Mice of Anshei Tveriah. And furthermore, even if it was set up, even though you did it before Shabbos began. The Tosfos over here on the top of the Amud asks a very simple question. This is a major conclusion that we're drawing from our Mishnah over here. Tosfos wonders, you know, later when we're going to be discussing the issues of Adman in much greater detail, meaning the fourth Perek, so it happens to be over there that the Mishnah says that you're now allowed to be Matmim B'davar Mosef Hevel, even before Shabbos. And so the Gemara over here is making an inference from our Mishnah, when meanwhile we're going to learn later in the Masechta, it's a Beferish Mishnah, that you're not allowed to insulate with something that increases heat, even before Shabbos. So like, why is the Gemara making such a big deal? We see it from an inference from our Mishnah. So Tosfos, it's a simple question, such a powerful question. Tosfos has three different answers to this question. I'm just going to speak out the three answers. You can see it all inside in Tosfos. Number one, he quotes the Ri, that if I only had the Mishnah on the fourth Perek, maybe I would have thought that before Shabbos just meant Benash Mashos. But perhaps I would have concluded that if I'm doing so actually during Friday itself, so then it would be okay. That would be mutter. And Anshei Tveriah teaches us that even though it's Mibo'od Yom, it's still going to be Aser. That's one possibility. Another one, says Tosfos, is that from the Anshei Tveriah, what do we learn? We learn not only is the Hatmana itself going to be Aser, but you're not even allowed to enjoy benefit from that which was cooked through Hatmana. Meaning the Hatmana itself is Aser, and the food that subsequently cooked through the Hatmana, that too is going to be Aser. That's what we're really learning out from the inference of Anshei Tveriah. Tosfos gives a third suggestion that we learned earlier in the Masechta, there was a heter of what's called Kedera Chaita, that if I take a raw food and put it on the pot, in the pot, right before Shabbos, no longer will there be a concern of Shemei Chata B'Gachalim, because I know I'm not going to be eating that food this evening on Friday night. I know I'm saving it for tomorrow until it gets fully cooked. And so therefore there is a heter. And perhaps the Gemara is pointing out over here what we're learning out from Anshei Tveriah is that we don't even have the heter of Kedera Chaisa as it relates to the as it relates to Hatmana. Kedera Chaisa is only for Bishul, but not for Hatmana. Okay, that is a third possibility of what we're learning from the inference. We are continuing in the Gemara. We are at the, we're not yet at the two dots. Ve'afil mi'ba'od yom. Amar Ula, third line down. Halachik Anshei Tveriah, then halach in fact follows like Anshei Tveriah. So Amar Rav Nachman, Tavrinu Anshei Tveriah, le silu nahu. And Rav Nachman says to Ula, what are you talking about? How could you tell me that the halach follows like Anshei Tveriah? They broke their pipes. Meaning once the Chachamim told them there was Aser, so they accepted the ruling of the Chachamim. And you want to tell me the halacha follows like Anshei Tveriah? Okay, so back and forth amongst the Amoraim. Who does the halacha follow like? The Gemara seems very clear that the halacha follows like the Chacham, and we said that it's Aser. Maisa she'asu Anshei Tveriah, my rechitza. Okay. Now, in the Mishnah, we said that for the water that was heated up in the hot springs of Tveriah, if this was on Shabbos, we have to treat this as water that was heated up on Shabbos. You can't drink that water. And you cannot bathe in that water. And if it was done so on Yontif, so you could drink the water, but you can't bathe in that water. Now, Elema, now the Gemara's clarification over here is as follows. We say Rechitza, we're talking about bathing, so what do we mean by Rechitza? Elema Rechitza kol gufo. So the Gemara says, are we talking about bathing your entire body? In other words, taking a full bath. Ela chamen sheuchim v'shabbos u'dasur, na chamen sheuchim v'mere shabbos mutarin. To which the Gemara says, well, that doesn't make sense. Because what is the Mishnah saying inferentially? It's saying that only if the water was heated up on Shabbos, then you cannot bathe your whole body. And by inference, what the Mishnah is saying is that if it was heated up before Shabbos, then you are allowed to bathe your whole body. But the Gemara says, but that's not true. V'atanya will enter the Braisa. Chamesh uch memer of Shabbos amachar rochitz ben panav yad v'raglav avalo kol gufo. So the Braisa tells us, we're going to be learning this Braisa extensively in tomorrow's daf, that if I have water that was heated up before Shabbos, so what you could do with that water that was heated before Shabbos is you cannot wash your entire body. But what you could do is you could wash your hands, feet, and face. And we'll talk more about this in tomorrow's daf. But you can't wash your whole body with the water that was heated before Shabbos. Elapanav yada viraglav. Oh, okay, so the Gemara says, fine. So what our Mishnah meant is that we're going to treat this water like water that was heated on Shabbos. And the Issa Rechitza is going on hands, feet, and face. So the Gemara says, okay, now that in of itself is fine. Meaning, because as we just concluded, if water was heated on Shabbos, you cannot wash any body part. If water was heated before Shabbos, you can't take a bath in that water, but you can wash your hands, feet, and face. Fine. That would be fine. A masefa, but the Gemara says, but let's turn to the end of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says, b'yamtov. Now, if these pipes were heated up on yantov, kechamishuchma b'yamtov, v'asurim b'rchitza mutar b'shtia. So then it would be prohibited to bathe, but you're allowed to drink that water on yantov. So lema tanan stamake b'shamay. Now, it comes out to a conclusion which would be untenable, which is then the Mishnah is going like Beit Shammai. Now, what does the Gemara mean? The Gemara is going to explain it. No, we learned in the Mishnah. Beit Shammai omrim lo yicham adam chamin l'raglav alim ken ru'in l'shtia u'beis hil matirin. On Yantav, let's say what you want to do is you want to heat up water on Yantav in order to wash your feet. Beit Shammai says you may not do so, and Beit Hillel says you are allowed to do so. Beit Shammai, if I could just say it a little bit clearer, Beit Shammai says if you were planning on using that water to drink, and then you have some residual of that water, that would be fine to wash your feet with it. But to warm up the water on Yom Tov to wash your feet, that you cannot do according to Beit Shammai. This Machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel over here revolves around a most basic debate between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel that we learned together in Beitza. On Daf Yud Beis, the Gemara over there introduced us to the idea of Mitoch. Beit Shammai does not subscribe to Mitoch, and Beit Hillel does. And to clarify this point just even better, there are malachas that are allowed to be done on Yantav for the purposes of cooking a vochel nefesh. The Torah allows one to cook on Yantav, to eat on Yantav. The malachas of lighting a fire, although you're not allowed to start a fire anew on Shabbos, that is the creation, molid esh, that's prohibited rabbinically. Too much to discuss right now. Let's leave that alone. The malachas of havara and shechita and Bishol are allowed on Yantar for the purposes of eating, of consumption. That is clear. Here, however, we now have a major debate between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai says that's it. Meaning the only malachas that are permitted on Yantar are only these malachas and only for the purposes of eating. These malachas cannot be done for any other benefit on Yantar. Beit Hillel does not subscribe to Mitoch. Beit Shammai does not subscribe to Mitoch. What about Beit Hillel? So he does subscribe to Mitoch. And that means as follows. According to Beis Hillel, Mitoch shehutra letzarech, hutra na mishalo letzarech. Once these malachas were permitted for their need, so then they're permitted for eating, then they're permitted for other benefits as well. And that means that according to Beis Hillel, these malachas are mutter legamre, provided that there is a benefit that comes from these malachas. So that means, according to Beis Hillel, if I'm lighting a fire because I want heat, I just simply want to get hotter. So that would be fine, according to Beis Hillel. And now what we're saying is as follows. If I heat up water on Yantav, so I am allowed to do, I'm allowed to drink that water, but I'm not allowed to bathe in that water. And right now we're defining bathing as your hands, feet, and face. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so then who is the Mishnah following like? Oh, so then the Mishnah is following like Beit Shammai. And the Mishnah is not following like Beis Hillel. But the Gemara says, but that can't be. Meaning, in order to explain our Mishnah, we have to go to Beis Shittas Beis Shammai. Because according to Beis Hillel, when I heat water on Yantav, I'm allowed to wash my hands, feet, and face. Now, by the way, it sounds like from our Gemara that with water that was heated on Yantav, you cannot bathe your entire body. Now, that is correct from the perspective of the Gemara. And I'll explain that better a little bit later on. But right now in our Gemara, that's very difficult. Now, in order to explain our Mishnah, we're going like the Shita Beis Shammai. So, Amar Rebbe Ika Bar Chananya Lishtatef Ba'em Kol Gufo Askinan. So the Gemara says, no, we're not talking about bathing. We're talking about showering. And why is that different? Because when it comes to showering, we have a debate. Vaitanu Detanya, the Gemara quotes the following Braisa. Lo Yishtatef Adam Kol Gufo Ba'em Becham Ba'em Mitzon In Divrei Rebbe Meir. Over here, we're talking about showering in hot water. Obviously, the water was heated before Shabbos. According to Rabbi Meir, a person is not allowed to shower in hot water, in any water, whether the water is hot or whether the water is cold. Rabbi Shimon gives allowance to shower in both cold and hot water on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Bechamin Aser Betzonei Mutar. And Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that with hot water would be Aser and with cold water would be Mutar. And so over here, when we are learning our mission now regarding the waters that were heated up on Shabbos, and we're saying that there is an Iser Rechitza, so we're understanding Rechitza not to be bathing, but rather to be showering. And the idea over here is that it's following the viewpoint of Rabbi Yehuda, that with hot water it would be Aser, with cold water it would be Mutter. And we're talking about showering, we're not talking about bathing. Amar Rechitza Machlokis Bekli. Now over here, within this machlokus regarding showering, where did the water come from? So according to Rav Chista, the debate over here in this brisa that we just learned together is if the water was in a kli, aval bekarka, but if the water is coming from the ground, divrei hakol mutter, so then everyone would say that would be mutter. The Gemara says, wait one second, that doesn't make sense. For hamaisa danshei tveria bekarka havei ve'asra le'rabanan. Wait one second. The entire genesis of this discussion is coming from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about the hot springs of Tveria. That's water that's derived from the karka. It's from the ground. And yet, in the Mishnah, there's a debate. Eli Yidmar, Hachi Yidmar, so the Gemara says, fine. So let's modify our definitions. Machlokis Bekarka, the entire debate over here is when the water is coming out of the ground. Ava Bekli Divrei HaKol Aser, but if the water is coming from a Kli, so then that would be Aser. One would not allow to be showering in such water according to everybody. And so therefore the Gemara's conclusion is that showering in hot water, even when the water was heated before Shabbos, so if that water is coming from a kli, that would be us according to everybody. The debate that occurred between Anshei Tveri and the Chachamim is that the water over there came from the ground, and so there's a debate whether or not one would be allowed to shower in such water when it was heated in the ground. Bathing in that water is usr. And we'll discuss more of that, more of the issue of bathing in hot water in tomorrow's daf. But bathing in the water is usr, and that's a non-starter. That's clear. Showering in the hot water, so now what the Gemara's conclusion is that if the water started in a kli, so then according to everybody, you're not allowed to shower in that water, even though the water was heated before Shabbos. And then as far as the water coming from the ground, that's the machlokes between Anshei Tveria and the Chachamim, and that was also reflected in the brisa that we learned just a couple of lines earlier. Amar Rabba Bar Bachana, Amar Rav Yochanan, Halacha K'Rav Yehuda. Of these positions over here, the halacha falls like Rav Yehuda, that one would be allowed to shower in cold water, but one would not be allowed to shower in hot water on Shabbos. Amalei Rav Yosef Befer Shmi'alach or Michlal Shmi'alach. Rav Yosef wonders, did he say it explicitly, or was it just simply a diuk from an episode? My klala, the Gemara says, now what would be the inference? Amar Rav Tanchan, Amar Rav Yochanan, Amar Rav Yanai, Amar, we have the words Rav, it's probably Rebbe. Kol makum sh'ata mosi shnaim chokim ve'echan machriya. So anytime I have a dispute between two and I have a somewhat compromised position in the middle, so we follow like the Divrei HaMachriya. Chutz me kule matlanyo sha'af apisha Rebbe Eliezer Machmir Rav Yeshua Meiko, with notable exception of the matlanyos, that was the small swatch of fabric that we discussed earlier in our Mastachtam, a debate between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer's Machmir Rav Yeshua's Meiko, Rabbi Akiva Machriya, and Rabbi Akiva over here sides with one of the two. Ein halacha k'divrei HaMachriya. We are not going to be following Rabbi Akiva, even though he sided with one of the two. Chada de Rabbi Akiva Tamadu. First of all, Rabbi Akiva at that point in his life, his position just simply did not weigh that much because he was a student. Ve'od, as we turn to the top of Mem Amud Aleph, Hadarbe Rabbi Akiva lagabe de Rabbi Yoshua. And anyway, Rabbi Akiva ended up conceding to the point of Rabbi Yoshua. Fine. So the Gemara says, V'i mechlala mai. So the, and then if it was only inferential, sorry. So what we're seeing over here is that when we have a debate between two and the third party weighs in on one of the sides, so we're going to be following one of those sides. Let's take that back over here to our discussion. In terms of showering in hot water, we have a debate between Rav Meir and Rabbi Shimon. Rav Meir says showering in hot water would be Aser. Rabbi Shimon says it would be Mutter. And then you had Rabbi Yehuda, who comes to this middle position that with hot water it's Aser, and with cold water would be mutter. But at least what we see over here is that on the issue of showering in hot water, Rabbi Yehuda is in fact siding with Rabbi Meir, and so that basically gets us to a 2-1. And this follows the rules of Rabbi Yochanan, is that when you have a machria, so I say machria is a compromise position. Over here, it's not so much a compromise position. It's that he's simply, on the issue of showering in hot water, he's siding with one of the two. So you'll take his position, his opinion, you'll put it together with Rabbi Meir, and the conclusion will be that it will be Aser. So the Gemara says, V'i mechlala, now we turn back to Mem Amar Aleph, and the Gemara says, my, now you said this is only inferential. Why is it only inferential? Meaning, if we have the rules and we're applying the rules, it's pretty clear, right? So the Gemara says, well, maybe not. Dilma hani milim b'masnisin. These rules are of Yochanan regarding how to understand the third opinion and how the third opinion tips the scale. That may be in a debate that occurs in the Mishnah. Ava b'braisa lo. So, but if it comes to a braisa and this issue of showering in hot water is coming from a braisa, it's not coming from a Mishnah, so maybe we don't apply the rules. So Amar le'ana b'fer shmi'ali, he says, I'm not saying this all by inference. I heard it directly. And so so this conclusion is that I'm not basing this on an inference. I'm basing it on the fact that I heard it directly from Rav Yochanan, that the halacha in fact follows like Rabbi Yehuda. Let's recap the daf. The first half of today's daf, we discussed the issues of Toldos Chamas, Toldos Eish. The derivative of fire, the derivative of sun. The Mishnah taught us that when it comes to the derivative of fire, that's an Isser of Bishul on Shabbos, it's an Isser Daraisa. Regarding Toldos Chama, so we start off with the premise, with the given, that one is allowed to cook directly under the sun on Shabbos. That is not Bishul. Rashi, Ein Derech Bishua Bekach. And now the question is about Toldos Chama, a derivative of the sun. A debate between Rabbi Yossi and the Chacham and whether Gzera was made. The Chachamim said that the Chachamim say that there is a Gzera. Rav Yossi says there's no Gzera. And the ensuing discussion that occurred on the Amud Aleph regarding the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. We turn to the Amud Beis, and in the Amud Beis, we saw number one. What did we learn from Anshei Tveria? That one is not allowed to insulate B'davar Amosif Hevel, even though it was set up before Shabbos. Doing Hatmana B'davar Amosif Hevel is Aser, even though it was set up before Shabbos. We went over Tosus this morning. Why is that such a chiddush? It's coming up in the fourth parak. Tosus gave three answers. We went over all three answers of Tosfos. In terms of the pipes that were heated through the Chamei Tveria, if this occurred on Shabbos, we treat this like water that was heated on Shabbos. If it occurred on Yontif, we treat it like water that was heated on Yontif. And subsequently, what does that mean? That you on Shabbos, you can't drink that water. You can't bathe in that water. On Yontif, you can drink the water, but you cannot bathe. And basically, the Gemara's ensuing discussion was, when we say bathing, what do we mean? Do we mean bathing your entire body, or do we mean bathing just parts of your body, your hands, feet, and face? And on Shabbos, you're not allowed to bathe with hot water, even with hot water that was heated before Shabbos, kol gufo, your whole body. And with hand, feet, and face, on Shabbos, you're allowed to wash your hands, feet, and face with water that was heated before Shabbos. The problem is that on Yontif, so on Yontif, you would be allowed to wash your hands, feet, and face on Yontif with the water that was heated up on Yontif. So we really struggled in terms of understanding our Mishnah. So what the Gemara did is it turned the discussion on the Mishnah of not bathing, but rather showering. And in Abraisa, we had a debate amongst the Tanaim. Is one allowed to shower with hot water that was heated before Shabbos? Obviously, just I'm saying a summary, with water that was heated on Shabbos, so you're not allowed to bathe in that water. But if the water was heated before Shabbos, are you allowed to shower in that water? Turns into a machlokes between Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara concludes that the halacha falls like Rabbi Yehuda, that you're not allowed to take a hot shower, but you are in fact allowed to take a cold shower. However, before walking away saying allowed to take a cold shower on Shabbos, just also remember the modification of Rav Chista. Rav Chista said that the only debate is with water that comes from the ground, like the hot springs of Tveria. But if that water was collected in a kli, according to everybody, that would be usur. Presumably, that would include our showers. Our showers are first collected in some sort of heating element, a furnace of sorts, and the a water heater. And so presumably, that would preclude our showering on Shabbos, even presumably even in cold water as well. Certainly in hot water, it would be asr, even though it was heated before Shabbos. Presumably in cold water as well, although that statement may not be as conclusive as I just suggested.